Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We are no longer, and if we're in Christ Jesus, we're no longer slaves to fear, for God is with us. Let's stand across the building today. Let us read Galatians 2 and 20 as we read every Sunday morning, as we read from our hearts today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. When we are in Christ Jesus, we know that we have the victory. And even though we go through things in life and there will be difficulties that will come our way, and I've always said if you don't have them today, you will have them sooner or later, and we will need the Lord Jesus Christ to help us through. And He is the one that will supply our needs. He is the one that will take us through the storms of life. He may not take away the storm, but He will be with us in the eye of the storm. He will take us through the storm. And as we have been studying on Wednesday night on the fruit of the Spirit and patience and long-suffering, patience is a virtue, and with us going through things, there will be testing that will take place, but God will bring us through. And we know that He is the one that is our author and our finisher of our faith, and He will take care of us through all the things that we go through in life today. If you have your Bibles today, hold those up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. And we see the Bibles going around. It'll be projected on the screen. It may be on your phone, your laptop, your tablet, whatever it may be. Let's get into God's Word today. The title of my message today is Confronting Casual Christianity. And we're going to look at this a little bit. Confronting Casual Christianity today. So go with me into the Old Testament. And we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. And we will go there for a little bit into the Old Testament, and we're going to also go into the New Testament. But we're going to go here first, Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. If there was ever a time that you and I must take inventory in our walk with God, now is that time, because now we are having to confront casual Christianity. Everybody in the world can use that word very loosely. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Yes, they're a Christian. He's a Christian. We're all Christian. And that word is used very loosely. But I want you to see today through the Scriptures that God is asking us for a personal relationship with Him, and not just pass the word around. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, he's a Christian, the world's a Christian, and we can say that all the time, but God is wanting us to look at ourselves and examine ourselves in our walk as a disciple, as a servant. And so we have to look at this for what the Word of God says. Not what I say, not what somebody else has said, not my ideas, not my theories, not my opinions, but what thus saith the Lord says in His Word about casual Christianity. And we're going to look at this as we look at Ezekiel 22 and 23. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, this is God speaking to Ezekiel the prophet, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the days of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. And they have devoured people, and they have taken treasures and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my laws and profaned my holy things. And they have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I'm profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, and seeing false visions and divining lies of for them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions and committed robbery and mistreated the poor and the needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the strangers. So I sought for a man among them who make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one, and therefore I have poured out my indignation on them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed the deeds on their own heads, saith the Lord God. Can I hear an amen to God's word? The most pressing need of the church today is for those who carry the Lord's name and to live a life of total commitment to Him. Let me say this again. The most pressing need of the church is for those who carry the Lord's name to live a life of total commitment to Him. How many times have we seen things happening within churches, even within America? We've seen churches that has rose to the occasion. We've seen churches escalate to numerous of thousands and thousands of people. We've seen so much things that has escalated, but yet we've seen things deplummet. We've seen things go down. We've seen things happen. And therefore, God is at a point where He is looking to us today that we're not chasing after a man. We're not chasing after a church. We're not chasing after religion. And we're not chasing after Christianity. But we are to live the life of Christ while we're in this world, and that we would become the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would allow the character of Christ to come alive in our lives. There are so many people that get their eyes on man and not eyes on the cross. There are so many people that get their eyes on the church and those that are around the church, but they forget to get their eyes on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping the main thing in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people are willing to give up their sins and be religious. The church struggles with the four C's today that I want us to look at that are present in many believers' lives. Complacency seems to take place. Criticism continues on. Coldness to the things of God continues on. And the coldness towards other believers. In other words, the enemy is working and lurking even in our churches today. We always thought that the devil was on the outside of the church.
We thought for a long time that the devil is everywhere else but the church. But I want you to know today the devil is also working in the church as well as the outside of the church, because he is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. He has no respect of a person. And I've always said, if God can bring a leader down, he will bring the whole church down. And that's why it's so important that you and I must continue to lift one another up in prayer and make sure our minds are focused in on what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us, commissioned us to do, is to win the lost at any cost, and sharing the news with what God can do, as he can save, he can deliver, and he can heal. Give God praise in the house today. I want you to know today that God is on his throne. As he inhabits the praises of his people, he's expecting us as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ to carry out the great commission in this generation which we live, is to carry the torch and stay focused and stay in God's word and be solid in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus had felt towards his opportunity to provide redemption for us, as so many feel towards others, we would still be without salvation. Today's society is committed to the cult of comfort. Folks, I want you to know today we're not on a cruise liner. We're not on a cruise ship just cruising right along. We are in war. You are in war every day. We are warring against our soul every day. The enemy does not sleep. You may go to bed. I may go to bed. And yet we have a conscious, but there's still a subconscious that goes on in the night, that the enemy does not sleep. And he's going to do everything he can to kill, steal, and to destroy your life and your family's life and everyone that's around you. That's why we must continue to put on the whole armor of God, so that we can withstand when the enemy comes against us. Listen, the call of God is totally the opposite. The call of God is totally the opposite. Now we go to the New Testament, Matthew 16 and 24. Take notes, write scriptures down, and you can study over this as well. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up," not Christ's cross, "you take up your cross," his cross, "and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but he whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If anyone comes after me, let him deny." We live in a world, and if we're not careful as Christians, we were living in that world now that we don't want to deny ourselves. We live in an area where we want to pleasure ourselves, whatever it may be, whatever we may do, wherever we may go, whatever we may have. And Jesus says that if you're going to follow after me, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny all the pleasures that you would like to do, and like things that you'd like to have, and things of this world. He says for you to deny yourself, your indulgence, and therefore take up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may live the life before men, and that we may continue to have the relationship that we need with God, that it stay intact day in and day out. Don't have the relationship just on Sunday morning and then put your relationship on on the shelf for Monday, but to have the relationship 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, and continue to follow Christ. For Christ says, truly to follow me is to deny yourself. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? You will find it. And therefore, we need to understand in a world which we live, we must deny of this world. There must be dying that must take place so that Christ may come alive in our hearts and life. We must not forget those who follow the path of total commitment. Follow the bloodstains, the footsteps of Jesus into the presence of the Father. We are to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. He has set an example. He bled and died on the cross. God's Father sent His one and only Son that you and I may be redeemed and you and I may have life and that you and I may be free from sin and that we will continue to do what Christ has called us to do. Listen, in today's scripture, God is trying to arouse us to a serious service. In other words, Christ is letting us know we must take inventory in our lives. If we're not where we need to be with the Lord today, then we need to get lined up. We need to get our life into example. We need to examine our faith and see if we are in line with the Bible and with the Lord Jesus Christ. God announced that He would judge the nation, as we see in the book of Ezekiel, with the Babylon invasion. We see this in chapter 21 and chapter 22. Explains the reason for the judgment. Israel had violated the law by which the nation was bound to the Lord. And moreover, the leaders of the nation, the priests, the princes, the prophets, were guilty of abandoning and corrupting God's word. We cannot continue on being what Christ wants us to be if we're not denying ourselves and we're living like the world. The world continues to go, and if we live like the world, nobody's going to see a difference. Nobody's going to see a change. They're going to say, well, you look like them. They look like you, and there's no change. The Bible says that we are to set apart. We are to come out. Because we're part of the body of Christ. God has a church, and He is a church that He has established, and He established those within the church that we are to set aside, be a part, and come out and be salt and light to this nation so that people can see Jesus Christ for who He is. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. This is not just Sunday Christianity. This is living out the crucified life. You've heard me say it. You have quoted it every Sunday morning. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. That's denying yourself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is what I pray and instill in your life today. That you're not living out the crucified life just on Sunday morning. You're not just living the crucified life when we all come together. But that you're living the crucified life in the world which you live, the mission that you're on. When you leave out these walls today, you're in a great mission field. You're in a great mission field. You don't have to go to a third world country. You're in the mission field right now in America that needs Jesus, and they need the truth, and the truth will set them free. Hallelujah. It is not for us to bow down. It's not for us to cower up, but it's for us to be bold as a lion. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your walk with Jesus. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. People will fall. Man will fall. But Jesus Christ will never fail because He is here today. He is the past. He is now. He is the future. And He will sustain His church and take care of His church. The Bible clearly lets us know that heaven and earth will pass away. But He says, my word will never pass away. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church or against God's word. He does not want you to hear the word of God. He doesn't want you to quote the word of God, Satan doesn't. He doesn't want you to pray to God. Why? Because the demons tremble. They don't want to hear you talk about Jesus. They don't want you to pray to Jesus. They don't even want you to talk about anybody else about Jesus. Listen, it's time for us to be bold in our faith. Listen, it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. This pastor here today is not seeking for a mega church. I'm not seeking for numbers. I'm not seeking for pleasure. I'm not seeking for fame. I'm not seeking for money. But what I'm seeking for is the Lord Jesus Christ to come down in a mighty way and sustain our church, that revival will break out in our hearts and life, and that we would come alive in Christ Jesus and share the good news and let people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, delivered, and healed. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen. When we're faithful with God, God will be faithful with you. When we're faithful with Him, He's going to be faithful with us. He's never let us down, and He'll never let us down because He's closer than a brother and a sister to us and to our lives. Listen, as we see this in Ezekiel, the Bible clearly lets us know, for this reason, they along with the people would be scattered among the nations, being with Babylon captivity in 586 BC. The Bible lets us know in this passage, along with King Jehoiakim, that Ezekiel had been taken captive by the Babylonians. The Israelites had relied on their alliance with Egypt to protect and preserve them. And Ezekiel shows the folly of looking anywhere except to God for delivery from evil. And yet in verse 30, God is looking for people. Hear me today. God is looking for people who care enough to be involved with His work. It is not time for you to throw your hands up and throw the towel in and quit. It's time to get busy. It's time to put your hands on the plow. It's time for you to dig. It's time for you to work. It's time for you to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be faithful to the very end. Listen, in this message, we're going back to look at two simple questions. What is the problem? Why is this happening, Pastor? What is the problem? And Pastor, what is the solution? What's the solution to this? If we do not see the problem, we will not understand the need for the cure. If you don't see what's going on, have God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to open up your eyes and to see what's going on around you. Folks, it's nothing but depravity on top of depravity. There's nothing but evil. There's nothing but wickedness. There's nothing over and over and over again. I shook my head and said, oh Lord, this week, when I went to the barbershop and got my hair cut, and there I was with this young man cutting my hair, and just having just conversation with him as he's cutting my hair. And as he's talking, you know, he is telling me about things in life, and he was telling me about his grandmother, that his grandmother had passed away. She was like 96 years old, lived a good long life, and said while he was telling me about his grandmother passing away, he said, you know, he said, I can't believe it, but my cousin came up to her before she passed away and says, Grandma, I just wanted you to know, I'm a lesbian, and I wanted to let you know before you died. And all of a sudden, the grandmother, which is at his surprise, says, well, honey, you do whatever you want to do. If that's what you want to do in life, then that's fine. You know, it's okay. And he was stunned because he couldn't believe that his 96-year-old mother was actually agreeing with her and saying, okay, that's great, that's good. You know, that's fine. Folks, I want you to know today that I cringe every day to see what the enemy is doing every day around us. And if we're not careful, we'll be caught up in that wave of the normal going on in life. In other words, what's up is down, and what's down is up. And the Bible talks about that. As time goes on, wickedness on top of wickedness is going to creep in. And it's also going to even creep into our churches where that we have got to be strong in our faith. We've got to know exactly who we are serving. And we've got to know what God's Word says. Because if we don't, we will go with them and go right out into this world. And that's why, folks, it is very important, it is detrimental that we know the Scriptures, that we know the Word, that we know right is right, wrong is wrong, white is white, black is black, hell is hot, heaven is sweet, and know the difference, because the enemy is out to destroy you day in and day out. And he will do what he has to do. Oh, don't think he's not cunning. Oh, don't think he's not crafty. Oh, he's all of that. He's the father of lies. He'll make a lie look like a truth. He'll make a lie look like a truth. And if we're not careful, we'll start judging what is right, what's wrong. But when we'll start putting colors on lies, oh, well, that blue lie is not as bad as that black lie. That red lie is not as bad as the yellow lie. And we'll put degrees. And when we do that, then what are we doing? We're allowing the enemy to come into our hearts and life. We're now becoming passive. Not aggressive with the Word of God, but we've come passive. Because this is what had happened in Ezekiel. This is what happened in those days. The priests, the prophets all got lackadaisical. They all got comfortable. They had everything that they ever wanted. They had everything. And they thought, well, we're just going to do what we want to do, be what we want to be, say what we want to say, go where we want to go, do what we want to do. And yet God comes to Ezekiel and says, is there anybody that's going to stand for the truth? Is there anybody going to stand for what's right? Is there any people? Listen. My first point today is this. The problem is having a casual approach to Christianity. You cannot have a casual approach to Christianity. Two statements here. Indifference within the ranks of many church people is more destructive to God's work than any organized outside force. Hear this. indifference within the ranks of many church people is more destructive to God's work than any organized outside force. That's why we must check ourselves. Western Christianity and the Western civilization is too weak and in effect to make a significant difference in the battle for the world, because we've got lackadaisical, we've got careless, we've set and set and set. Pews are never designed for us to enjoy day in and day out. Pews are for us to get instruction and take the instruction out of the church and share the good news with others we come in contact with. When we look like the world, we act like the world, and then we live like the world. Let me say it again. When we look like the world, we act like the world, and then we live like the world. These are serious charges and explains why many do not accept our message of Christianity. It is understood that the church has survived to the point because of those who are committed, those that are faithful, those that are accountable, that has accountability. And in too many cases, the church is like a team where some play their hearts out while others sit on the bench. Listen, we're all in this thing together. It's not a one-man band. I'm not the Lone Ranger. It's not for me to do everything and to do all things, but it's for the body of Christ to step up to the plate and count as one and begin to do the work that Jesus Christ has called us and commanded us to do. He never gave a suggestion. He gave a commandment that we are to do the work that Jesus Christ has called us to do. Listen, the church can be like a motor where some cylinders work and others do not. Those who live casual Christians, the Christian lives extracts a lot of strength from those who are totally involved in the work of the kingdom. It is not for you to sap the joy and the victory from someone else, but it's for you to give joy and victory to others, and iron sharpens iron, and it begins to strengthen one another. This may sound like it's strong medicine today, but that may be what it takes to be well. The most serious of our illness may be the stronger of our medicine. The more serious of our illness may be the stronger of our medicine. As your spiritual physician who wants you to be healthy, take the whole dosage, not some, not part, but take the whole dosage. Take it all. Let it be that you are, that Christ is the vine. You are the branches. You can't do anything without Jesus Christ. But the vine and the branches, they grow together. They get rooted and bound into the soul and even into the Word of God, so that they may grow and be what Christ has called you and I to be. Listen, my second point today, and I've only got 2 points today. Normally it's three, but it's two today. Look at the cure for the problem. Look at the cure for the problem. The cure begins with an honest look to yourself, to myself. This is how the cure begins. If I'm just going to be a casual Christian, I've got to take inventory in my life. Am I what I profess to be and should be? Think about this. Am I what I profess to be and should be, or am I following on what somebody else has said? Am I quoting something from somebody said on Facebook? Am I dropping lines from everybody else, but nothing is coming from me?
Listen, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't depend on any man that gives out the word. It depends on our relationship with opening up the Bible and us getting the word for what it is. We're studying the word ourselves. Hear me today. Man will let you down, but God won't, nor His word. That's why you have to read it for yourself. Save you. Your daddy can't save you. Your friends can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you, and only you can begin to read that word for yourself. Because when it all shakes down and when it's all said and done, every one of us, including this pastor, is going to have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, we will all stand before God Almighty, and He will open up the book. And trust me, He's keeping all records. You don't have to worry about keeping up with that. You ain't got to worry about keeping up with somebody else. Worry about yourself. Keep up with what God wants you to do. The Bible says to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It is for you to have that personal relationship and not be the casual Christian that everybody else is. Stand out among others. Understand whether you're accepted or not. That's fine. If you're rejected, that's fine. Stand for what is right. Stand for what is truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth will separate you from the love of God, but God will keep you intact, whose mind is stayed on Him. Listen. I'm getting closer to my closing here. Am I what I profess to be and should be? Am I what Jesus died for me to be? Am I what Jesus died for me to be? If I were to die, would there be a missing link between God and my world? I want to leave some questions with you. I want to leave some thought provoking here. I want you to see this. If I were to die today, would there be a missing link between God and my world? What is your world? There is no such thing as a partial commitment. You're either all in or not at all. The Bible says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're warm, lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. We've got to be fully committed. Doesn't matter what the Joneses is doing. It doesn't matter what the church down the road is doing. It doesn't matter what anybody's doing. What is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today? Listen. There is no such thing as partial commitment. Upon taking off, an airplane reaches a point of no return. When a pilot is flying a plane and he begins to take off, and before those wheels, as they tell me, before the wheels come under that jet plane, that pilot gets the air traffic controller and says, I am committed. And immediately when the pilot tells air traffic control, I am committed, that means he does not back out. He doesn't say, well, wait a minute. He fully goes through with full throttle to get that bird up in the air. He is committed the same way it is with us. It is not for us to back down. It is for us to be committed in our faith. It is to be committed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for us to be committed, and that we are to commit and say, whatever comes our way, whatever happens, I'm going to take my family. I'm going to take the things that I know of God. I'm taking it, and I am going to digest God's word, and I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to walk in faithfulness, and I'm going to stay true to the word of God. Because the things of this world is going to go back to this world. But one thing you can take is you can take yourself and you can take your family to heaven. That's one thing that you can do. Listen, I'm getting close in my closing. Listen, unfortunately, there are many church members who have been sitting on a runway, gunning their engines for years, but never leaving the ground. It is time for us to leave the ground.